regular listeners to our program will recognize this music. It's the signal for another visit to India in the company of Julian Crandall Hollick. Over the years with Julian, we've met the women of Maila Milan and the street kids of Sadak Chops on Apna Street in central Bombay, or Mumbai, the city's official name. We followed their journey and heard about their successes and failures. This new series will air on the first Sunday of the next 3 months, but it is not about Apna Street. Instead, the focus will be on other parts of the city that Julian knows and loves, as well as an unusual place called Rambagan in Calcutta, on the other side of India. However, today we are going to Dharavi, Asia's largest slum. It was once marsh and mud flats, washed by a small creek and bordered on either side by railways leading out of Bombay to the north and east. Dharavi is now home to more than 500,000 men, women, and children. Many residents call it the true heart of Bombay, as we hear in this installment, Julian calls Dharavi, heaven and hell.
It had just rained, so Yunus was a few minutes late. He'd gone to pick up Gracie, who works in Dharavi, and had offered to be my guide to its lanes and alleys. So I hung around Jula Maidan and ended up in a slanging match with Samina's husband about the price of chickens. Finally, Yunus and his battered yellow taxi turned up, and we set off to what many call the true heart of Mumbai. Mohammed Ali Jung Bahadur's corporate headquarters is a gloomy shack made of bamboo and scrap wood lit by a 40-watt bulb and connected to the outside world by a very old rotary phone. And in the muddy alleyway outside, two men in shirt and lungi are using heavy metal bars to bash the hell and the dents out of 1 gallon metal cans that were once full of cooking oil. A third man wanders in to join them, takes out a pair of small rubber hammers, and starts bashing away to his heart's content. If I close my eyes, I hear the great Ali Raka and his son Zakir Hussain making magic with their tablets right here outside Jung Bahadur's office. If Central Park's the green lung that keeps Manhattan alive, then Dharavi's the recycling lung that prevents Mumbai from choking to death on its own waste. In the shed opposite are kids scrubbing huge oil drums with wire wool. I start watching him, while Gracie goes to find out why Jung Bahadur isn't here. Someone tells her he's had to go to the hospital to get antibiotics for an abscessed tooth. Now, Jung Bahadur's one of my favorite people. He's built up this little empire, recycling metal cans in all shapes and sizes.
Very interesting. This has come from the factory from Goa. Yeah. So it's going to be cleaned and again sent back to the factory for refilling.
He's cleaning it, yes. Sanding it, then he's repainting it inside and out.
Sure.
And then it's ready for use.
Yes.
Everyone thinks it's new, and I doubt this. He gets a good price for it. But they're going back to go when they're finished.
No, it'll go to the factory in Bombay.
In Bombay, okay.
Somebody has bought it, so he'll clean it again and then sell it. Acha.
The barrel's turned upside down. The boy gives it a few more wipes inside. Turns it again. Gives it a good bash to get the dust out. And then wheels it away to join the finished pile. And starts the whole sequence again. It's hard for Jung Bahadur to get used to the idea of Maila Milan women working outside the home and bossing men around. To his eternal credit, Jung Bahadur is trying to adapt, but it isn't easy, and the strain and bewilderment often shows. You remember the scrap metal Nawaz and Jackie collected on Malabar Hill? That ends up in town at a smaller shop where it can be melted down. Jung Bahadur's operation is much more ambitious in its scale and efficiency. Dharavir takes in all the flotsam and jetsam of modern Mumbai living and gives it a new lease on life. At the head of the lane, in a space kept dry by corrugated metal sheeting, Jang Bahadur's got a veritable recycling factory going. There are 20 or 30 women here. They squat on stones and they clean and hammer back into shape 2-litre cooking oil cans. The cans are dipped into scalding water, given a vigorous scrub, and then taken away to the next stop on the assembly line.
How much do you get paid?
Instinct tells me this is not one of the best paying jobs around.
I get 20 rupees per day.
How many hours do you work here?
I'm working here from morning 9:30 to evening 6 o'clock.
Every day of the week?
It depends. If there's work, I work regularly. If there's no work, I have to go back home.
Home Franjunabai is a village near Nasik in the heart of Maharashtra. 15 years she's been doing this work here in Jang Bahadur's lane.
Shukriya.
In the heart of this cacophony sits a solitary man. He's holding your basic welding torch and solder, no safety goggles, healing the torn and ripped area around the spout in the top of the can. You don't need to go out of Dharavir to find work. There's plenty of it right here.
There are many small-scale industries, plenty of them, so they can work there. And everything is recycled in Dharavir. See, these are cardboard box. For packing, you need it. Then again, they'll repair it and make it new. It's used for packing.
It's the great recycling lung of the city.
This is the main place where everything is recycled. Come inside.
This is, you're heating gold in there at the moment?
Gold and silver.
Not together.
Recycling oil cans isn't the only industry in Dharavir, not by a long chalk. This particular alley is an assembly line for various things to do with gold. Poor Indians still prefer to wear their wealth rather than put it on deposit in the bank. And here there are stores which clean your gold and silver jewellery and make it shine like new. PK Savant's busy melting down some silver bracelets to make into mini silver fingers.
Whatever is mixed in gold, I remove that with the help of chemicals after melting it. I make pure gold.
Don't have any... 24
karat, yeah. Yes, right now I don't have any gold to melt for you, but I'll melt silver for you.
Savant places some silver in a little clay pot. He puts that into a bed of charcoal on top of the electric furnace, presses the switch, and in 5 minutes, the silver's turned liquid. Savant says he'd love to show me how to melt gold, but he hasn't got any today. But of course, if I was willing. Finally, Savant pours the liquid metal into a mould and then dips the mould into the cold water with a pair of tongs and, hey presto, a silver finger.
What's that, papad?
Most of the little things one takes for granted in Mumbai are in fact made right here in Dharavir. Things like papad, the crisp wafer-like bread you get in Indian restaurants, which is right here, drying in the sun on the bare earth. Or bindis, those little dot-like fashion statements Indian women place on their foreheads. Or the clay idols of the great elephant god Ganesha for his annual festival each September. If you look at aerial photos of Dharavir, the houses appear to be jam-packed so close together, it's hard to imagine anyone ever seeing the sun. But when you're actually on the ground inside Dharavir, it's more like a little village. Workshops where just about everything is made, leather handbags or soccer balls. Dharavir, in fact, got its start tanning leather. Today, most of the tanneries have moved or been moved out. The chemicals polluted the groundwater, but the real estate's worth a fortune in anybody's currency. Ja. But there's one traditional industry that does survive and thrive, employing anywhere from 30 to 70,000 people. In a deep earthen pit here in Kumbhavada, two men dressed only in shorts are yanking clumps of thick grey clay from the walls of the pit with short pickaxes, plonking them down into shallow wicker baskets, which a third man carries off somewhere behind the house. This clay doesn't originally come from Kumbhavada. It's been trucked in from outside Mumbai, then mixed with water and stored in these pits until it needs to be used. Next stage in the production line is Ranjanben. She's squatting inside a dark hut. Her hands are tearing at a pile of the raw clay. She slaps it down on a wooden board, stands up, and then squishes it with the heel and ball of her feet until it's elastic enough to work by hand.
What you're doing is softening it up, right?
Ranjanben next starts kneading the clay with her hands on the board. She does this day in, day out, 10 hours a day.
First I have to mix it with the soften it and mix it with my feet, and then I have to make balls, and then we put it on the wheel and then we make a utensil.
Ranjanben doesn't make the pots herself. Her husband and his brother-in-law do that. In the next hut, Samit Sharma's turning clay on a wheel. Nothing extraordinary about that, but quite literally on a wheel. A small cart wheel, hub, spokes and rim. He keeps it level by rotating it with a stick. And while it's turning, he slaps a lump of Ranjanben's clay onto the wheel and shapes it into the rough outline of a pot. And then deftly cuts it away from the wheel with a piece of string, like a cheesemonger uses a wire to cut cheddar from a wheel of cheese.
So this is a wheel that you just propel yourself, no electricity.
No.
This is the most ancient form of wheel that exists. Have you got a piece of metal in there? Or what, in your other hand? Because it sounds very metallic.
Yes, it's got a metal, a round piece of metal.
How long do you do that for?
15 minutes I have to do that.
Samat's neighbour Hirabai is shaping a clay drinking pot. He spanks the outside with a wooden paddle. His other hand is deep inside the neck of the pot, and that hand holds a piece of smooth, curved metal.
And so what, it's absolutely smooth inside?
With that it becomes smooth.
And then you have to get rid of the cracks on the outside.
With one hand, he continues spinning the wheel. With the other, he takes a thin stick, whittled down to a sharp point, and delicately etches in lines in the wet clay for decoration.
That's very clever. So you're putting all those lines in.
When he's finished the pot, he simply puts it outside to harden in the sun and gets on with spanking and shaping the next pot. These are the sorts of pots you see outside train stations all over Mumbai, painted deep red or black, used for household drinking water. And they sell for
15 to 20 rupees.
And if you saw me coming, it would be 30 to 40, right? Now, this I'm interested in. This is something I've never seen in the West or elsewhere in India. Is this hot?
In an open space in front of the houses is a shallow brick pen full of unfired pots. Men are stuffing old wool and cotton fluff around the pots.
First we have to spread all the cotton, then you have to keep the pots, and then from those holes below there, we put fire in. We put the fire from that holes, and then the cotton will all burn.
Oh, so the cotton burns.
Yes. Cotton will burn and it will get baked and we'll cover this up with a tin roof.
How long does it take to bake the pots then?
It takes about 3 and 3.5 hours.
The wool is waste from the mills in Mumbai. Mejibai, the man in charge, says it'll take all afternoon to burn. Very simple, not very efficient, but it works. A squat, fat truck is trying to get past me down the lane. I've got to flatten myself against the wall. It inches past me. Very tight squeeze, very tight. Then it's past. Darvi's no paradise. There's far too much suffering and squalor and violence within its lanes. But it does breathe its own humanity and energy. I'm not the only person who thinks it's the true heart of the city. It also boasts one of the best South Indian vegetarian restaurants with a rice that can be just out of this world. But that is indeed another story. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Mumbai.
To read more about Apna Street and see photos of some of the people in this story, visit our website at npr.org. Next month, Julian takes us to Calcutta, or Kolkata, as it's now been renamed, to an unusual slum called Rambagan. The inhabitants there are using art to pull themselves out of poverty. Dharavi, Heaven and Hell, was edited and produced by Shabana Coelho and Fernando Ruiz del Prado. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.